Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today, Palm Sunday, is the Palm Sunday text, which is one of them is Luke 19, 36 through 40. As Jesus went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," Jesus replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, I think all of us have heard of a white elephant gift. You've probably given some or received some. I think it comes from a long time ago, some Indian prince or something gave a white elephant to another prince as a gift. Now, it's a big gift and it's an expensive gift, but the whole thing with the white elephant gift is, you know, what do you do with it? I looked up a few white elephant gifts online. I found one that was a children's knife throwing kit along with knife sharpener. Now, I'm sure the kids would have a good time, but what parent in their right mind is going to give their kids a knife throwing kit? So what do you do with it, right? A popular one for years was a chia pet, right? Remember that thing? Like in the 80s or something, it was like some kind of pottery form, and then you do, you know, put seeds on it, water it, and it grows. Okay, great, you know, but what do you do with it? The one that we have in our family that we've given out several times and always gotten back, and it's never been opened, by the way, is a little tin. It's about the size of a package of playing cards, and it's emergency underwear, okay? You can just carry it with you anywhere. Now, again, we all know what to do with it, but what do you want it? You don't want to use it, right? Because, you know, but again, a white elephant gift is like that. Now, I got to thinking about the greatest gift I ever had, as it turned out, became a white elephant gift, although it certainly wasn't intended for that, and I didn't take it for that at first. I've talked about this before. The greatest gift I ever got was a Kentucky rifle that shot real corks. This is in the wonderful days in the 70s where you could, you know, buy dangerous gifts for your kids. It was great. And I found that if you took the roll of caps and just empty out all the powder out of like 100 caps and collect it on a little piece of tissue paper and put it on the firing pin, boy, that cork goes fast. You could really shoot things hard. Now, it was not a white elephant because I didn't know what to do with it. I knew exactly what I wanted to do with this. So I start shooting everybody in the house, right? Shot my brother, shot my sister, shot the dog. He had it coming. He wasn't a very good dog anyway. And it was the greatest 32 hours of my life, okay? And then shot the wrong person at the wrong time. I was stalking my prey throughout the house, and I found myself in the kitchen, and there was my mom bending over at the oven. And I just lined her right up there, you know. Pow! Let her have it right in the back of the lap. And she screamed, "Never seen that gun again." Okay? I talked to her about this yesterday, and she goes, "Boy, you know, I haven't seen that. I wonder where that went." And I go, "Yeah, I guarantee you got it sitting right there. You're looking right at it. I guarantee it." I think finally when she passes away, that will be willed back to me. I'm really looking forward to that day. But it was a white elephant gift. In other words, it wasn't so much I didn't know what to do with it. I did the wrong thing with it. Now, Palm Sunday can be troublesome. As you can tell, did our gospel have anything to do with Palm Sunday today? No. And the other gospel for that you can choose from this is the Passion of Christ. It's the entire reading story of the Passion. And I think that's bizarre. I mean, I don't know. What do you think we should be talking about on Palm Sunday? I don't know. Maybe Jesus coming into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. So you see, that's kind of a problematic thing right there. And Jesus coming into Jerusalem came in as a gift. Not just a gift for the people of Jerusalem and for the Jewish people, but for all mankind. And yet, what was the reaction to him? People were confused. Some people were angry. Some people rejoiced. The Pharisees and the chief priests told Jesus to tell his disciples to shut up, and Jesus shoots right back at them. As he's going in, everybody is rejoicing except for Jesus, who's weeping over the people who are rejoicing. So there's a lot of problems with Palm Sunday. I think one of the first problems we see, of course, has to do with the Pharisees and the chief priests when you read all of the gospel texts that talk about this. They had a real problem with Palm Sunday. And it really wasn't so much what the people were doing. I mean, that certainly bothered them waving the palms and all that. It was what they were saying that was such a problem. In fact, in the text here, it says, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." And what these people were doing is they were reciting Psalm 118, at least parts of it. And you listen to Psalm 118, these few verses, 22 through 26, and you see how closely linked this is to Jesus and how Jesus even uses the same imagery to describe who he is. "The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success." And "Lord, save us" in Hebrew is Hosanna, which they're all crying out. And then finally, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," which is what they're saying. This is a messianic psalm. When they're directing these words at Jesus, they are telling everyone, Jesus is the King come to Jerusalem. Now, that was a big problem for the chief priests and the Pharisees. If he's coming in as king, it's a threat to their power, especially in the work with the temple. And even worse than that, it's a threat to the Roman power. In case you didn't know it, Romans really didn't approve of other people saying we are kings. The Romans were in charge. And that would threaten an entire destruction of the people themselves. And so they turn to Jesus and they say, "Tell your disciples to be quiet." And Jesus shoots back at them. Now, of course, we know Jesus is the Messiah. And we know that by his coming into Jerusalem, he is answering the prayer of Hosanna, "Lord, save us now." But the problem that the people had with that was not just the salvation part, it was really how the salvation was going to be carried out. These Jews, just like almost all the Jews at the time, had a very clear picture of who the Messiah was. He would come in as a political force and a religious force, and he would forcefully remove the Romans. He would destroy them. And he would also renew worship in the temple the way it was meant to be. And he would renew the leadership of the Jewish people so they wouldn't be corrupt anymore. He would make everything new. And he would give them what they had dreamed of. He'd give them power and prosperity and peace for God's people. That's what they wanted. But what did they get 5 days later? 5 days later, Jesus is a bloody mess. They've accused him of blasphemy. They spit on him, abuse him, and then the Romans nail him to a cross just to let all the Jews know that we're not going anywhere. That's what they got 5 days later. Now, it's easy for us to really look at Palm Sunday and 5 days later Good Friday, and to see this as an object lesson of how fickle people can be. You know, one moment they're saying Hosanna, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, and 5 days later they're yelling crucify him. That's not really accurate. They weren't the same people. The people on Palm Sunday that are saying Hosanna, these are the Galileans Jesus had been traveling with all the way down from Galilee on the journey down. They had all seen his miracles, they'd all heard his teaching, they almost all of them see or at least knew that Lazarus had been raised from the dead. They had every reason to say Hosanna, every reason to believe this was the Messiah. But 5 days later on Good Friday, Jesus' final trial before Pontius Pilate was done early in the morning. The Galileans are still sleeping. That's why they did it then. And the people crying out, crucify him, were people who worked for the temple. People paid by the chief priests. People told by the chief priests, you say crucify him and you get paid next week. This is why when Jesus is going to the cross finally, by the way, the Galileans, by the time they found out what's happened to Jesus, he's halfway there to the cross. And you hear about people weeping as Jesus is going to the cross. Well, they certainly aren't the people who said crucify him. They're not going to weep. Who is it? The Galileans who finally woken up to see that their entire hope and dream is shot. And they're crying not so much for Jesus, they're also crying for themselves. And Palm Sunday can be kind of troublesome for us when we look at this, the events here in hindsight, right? We see what happens on Palm Sunday, and we know full well what's going to happen on Good Friday, and it doesn't seem right. And it's upsetting to us. But what we need to understand is all of us in 2024, who can see clearly what's going to happen on Good Friday, even though we celebrate Palm Sunday, we need to know that Jesus knew that even better than we do. He knew exactly what was going to happen. And yet he continued into Jerusalem anyway. He rode into Jerusalem for people who hated him. He rode into Jerusalem for people who had absolutely no idea who he was. He rode into Jerusalem for people who were so short-sighted that they could only see what they thought the Messiah should be and what they thought the Messiah should do. And he rode into Jerusalem for us. And he knew exactly what was going to happen to him better than any of us can understand. He knew he would be rejected by people and by God. He knew what it was like than to carry the sins of the whole world upon him. So Palm Sunday and Jesus entering into Jerusalem that day is an incredible gift for us. It's a gift of love. But how do we respond to that gift? What are we going to do with it? In faith, we receive it. Today, we gather together to give thanks for it. And we pray that the Lord give us opportunity to share it with those who do not know it. In Jesus' name, amen.